From the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 7, 12, and 30 through 34. And he called the 12 to him, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out and preached that people should repent. And then, verse 30, they return. The apostles gathered together to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had been taught, what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. And they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. And the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran their own foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. We come to this point in Scripture. Jesus had called the 12. He'd given them power over unclean spirit, and he sent them out to preach and to heal. They completed their mission and came back to report to Jesus about what they had taught and done. And there was such a great crowd of people still demanding attention in ministry that the disciples did not have time to eat. And seeing this, Jesus said, "Come aside. Come aside to a deserted place and rest a while." It's so simple that it hardly seems one should even have to say it. And yet it is so simple that we often miss it. If we are to be effective for our Lord, we must avoid two dangers in life. First, there is the danger of too constant activity. And second, there is the danger of too much withdrawal into devotion in prayer. I want us to look at these in turn tonight. First, the danger of too constant activity. Jesus had sent the disciples out to preach and heal and teach, and they'd gone and apparently had had great success. Even now, the crowds are so great around them that they didn't even have time to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been that busy. I've had people tell me they got so busy they forgot to eat. I've never been that busy. But here it was. They were just overwhelmed with people with demands upon their lives. The crowds want to hear more. They want to be healed. Their needs are real and great. Surely the disciples will minister to all their needs. Now, this is a situation that most of us face in some way on a regular basis. There's so many claims on our time. Back before I retired, it was certainly true for me. No matter how much I tried to do, how busy I was, how many hours I put in, there was always another call that needed to be made, another visit that needed to be taken care of, another sermon that needed to be written, another report that I had to fill out, another meeting that needed attending. But you know, after I retired, things are still too busy much of the time. The yard needs cutting. The garden needs weeding. The produce needs gathering. The house needs vacuuming. A meal needs preparation. You know, on and on it goes. And you're that way. Most of you, regardless of what you do, there's always more that needs to be done. Your job, your church, your school, your family, your community, all of these are making demands upon your time. One real danger we all face in trying to live the Christian life is that we become so busy working for God that we have no time to spend with God. We can become so busy working for God that we have no time to spend with God. Can you believe it? You that are parents here, if you don't watch out, you'll be so busy doing things for your children, you have no time to spend with your children. Husbands and wives have to be watching. Unless they get so busy doing things for each other, they have no time to spend with each other. And we can become so busy in the church, doing the work of God, that we have no time to spend with God. Real danger. We all know that if we're to keep healthy in the physical realm, that we must be properly nourished and receive proper rest. Without both, we will be less than our best, and neglected long enough, you're sure to break down somewhere and become sick. We have to stop and eat. We have to get rest. The only person who does not need a day off is a person who's not working. The only person who doesn't need a vacation is a person who's not doing anything. Even God rested after 6 days of creation. Jesus is often pictured as going away from the crowds for rest, for prayer. Night follows as night follows the day, that if we're to stay well spiritually, we must take time for God. William Barclay says, it may well be that the whole trouble in our lives is that we give God no opportunity to speak to us because we do not know how to be still and to listen. The whole trouble in our lives may be that we don't let God speak to us because we do not know how to be still and to listen. We give God no time to recharge us with spiritual energy and strength because there's no time to wait upon Him. How can we shoulder life's burdens if we have no contact with Him who is the Lord of all good life? How can we do God's work unless in God's strength? And how can we receive that strength unless we spend time in quietness, in loneliness, in the presence of God? We must take time for the recharging of our spiritual energy. The psalmist knew this. You find it again and again in the Psalms. The 25th Psalm, the 5th verse, the psalmist said, lead me in thy truth, teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all day long. He's saying, God, you are my salvation. Lead me, teach me. But he's also saying, I'm going to take time, but I'm going to wait before you all day long. Or in the 27th Psalm, 14th verse of the psalm, said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. You wait upon the Lord, and then He strengthens your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Or again, Psalm 33:20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait upon the God, and He is our help. He is our shield. Or Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry and lifted me out of the horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. All of this after He waited, took time for God. The prophets knew the need for taking time for God. It's hard for me to say I have a favorite among the scriptures, but one of my favorites is Isaiah 40:31, where the prophet says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. Jesus in our scripture said again, come aside to a deserted place and rest a while. Take time. Wait. In Acts 1:4-8, Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But the disciples did not receive the power of the Holy Spirit until they waited in obedience for 10 days. Take time. We sing it sometimes, take time to be holy. If we would be strong spiritually, we must plan time, take time for God, to wait before Him, to be renewed and strengthened by His Spirit. To do otherwise is to grow tired and weak and become sick and fail in our task for God. There is the danger of too much activity. We need to take time. But there's also the danger of too much withdrawal. This has always been a danger. You remember the story when Jesus and Peter and James and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and there Jesus was transfigured before them, and his garment became white as snow, whiter than any bleached on earth could bleach them. And Moses and Elijah came and appeared to them, and Peter and James and John were just overwhelmed by it all. And Peter said, "Lord, this is so wonderful. This is the greatest experience I've ever had, the greatest religious experience anybody could ever have. Let's build three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's just stay here on the mountaintop. Let's just stay here." And sometimes when you've been offered a spiritual retreat, you say, "Why can't we just stay here?" Soon, however, Jesus brought Peter and James and John down off the mountain, down in the valley, where there's sickness and pain and work that needs to be done. And interestingly enough, when Jesus comes down the mountain, he finds the father of a young boy who's demon-possessed. He'd asked the disciples to heal his son, and they had tried to do the work of God, but they'd been unable to heal the boy. And Jesus healed the lad, and when he was over with, the disciples says, "Why weren't we able to do that?" You know, you can almost hear them saying, "You gave us power over unclean spirits. You gave us power and we went out and healed. We saw it work. Why couldn't we heal the lad?" And Jesus said, "This kind comes out only by prayer." They had worked and failed. Peter would have been content to step on the mountaintop in prayer and never brought any healing, in effect, to fail. Jesus prayed, and then he was able to work the miracle of healing. Both. Across the centuries and into this day, there are those who isolate themselves totally from the world and devote themselves exclusively to prayer. And while you cannot help but admire their devotion, you must question their lack of work in a world that is in such desperate need. Even in our society, dare I say it, even in our church, there are those who are very religious. They are faithful in worship and prayer. They believe in Jesus and they have a strong faith if you listen to what they say. But they don't want to get involved in the hurt and the dirt and the need of the world around them. Willing to come to church every Sunday, to sing the songs of Zion, to pray, to read the scriptures, to study the word. But they don't want to get their hands dirty by working where there's hurting humanity. Berkeley says again, devotion that does not issue in action is not real devotion. Prayer that does not issue in work is not real prayer. We must never seek the fellowship of God, he said, to avoid the fellowship of men, but to fit ourselves better for it. The rhythm of the Christian life is the alternate meeting with God in the secret place and serving men in the marketplace. I'd like to leave that with you tonight. The rhythm of the Christian life is the alternate meeting with God in the secret place and serving men in the marketplace. Well, there you have it. Avoid the danger of constant activity. Plan to take time to be with God. Avoid the danger of too much withdrawal. Once you've received from God, then go out into the world for service. It's not either or, it's both and. We receive so that we might serve. Both. Lord Jesus, make us effective, faithful disciples. Not just hearing the Word, but being doers of the Word. Not just studying the Word, but living the Word. Help us, Lord, to be faithful disciples. Receiving and enjoy giving. As you have been a blessing to us, help us to be blessings to others. And we pray in your wonderful name. Amen.